Day. Can you believe it? I hope you celebrated. I did. 48 days of no woman in the White House. Or is that... Ouch. That's rough, Sam. That's rough. 800-222-5222. 1-800-222-5222. And, I'm actually... Everybody came to work today. I want to say that. I was kind of wondering, are people not gonna show up? Wonder how it... I didn't really... I asked a few people today, hey, so how was it in your offices? You know, I asked people in big companies and small companies. And it just seems to me kind of, I mean, it's just the absurdity of proving your value by not showing up. I always think that, you know, my biggest fear in any job I've ever had, and I give this advice to people all the time, is I don't want to not be there and them realize that they can live without me. It's like it was my worst fear. I always remember I hated taking vacations when I was an up and coming young professional, because honest to goodness, my greatest fear in life was that I was going to wake up someday. I was going to come back from the trip, you know, Monday morning. And they're like, hey, yeah, we figured out we could do this without you. So those are my thoughts. At any rate, you would think that that the news media is, by the way, is living just fine without reality. Because I had producer Robbie today. I tasked him, gave him an important role. And I said, I just want you to monitor CNN and MSNBC for me and see what they're saying about the CNN hacking scandal. And what did you find, for example, did MSNBC did their main, their homepage all day today, zero reference? I mean, it's, look, it doesn't matter what side of the argument you fall on. It is absolutely 100% the biggest news story, and we're going to address it here. All right, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, and let's do this. It is. This is absolutely the biggest news story right now. And I told you yesterday about this Binney guy, William Binney, and he was the NSA whistleblower that came out and did a series of interviews. He did a few today as well, just not on MSNBC, talking about his experience as the NSA, one of the top code breakers at the NSA and code writers and hackers. And he was the one who designed the programs that right now are some of the programs that are being spotlighted in this WikiLeaks dump. Most notably, he's the guy who's responsible for creating the code that we use for our domestic surveillance program. And one thing to understand is to know how this system works, because there's this fine parsing of words as to what it means to tap a phone. By the way, I have no idea what it means to tap a phone. Right? I've never done it. It's not something, it's not my area of expertise. But technology has evolved, as it often is. Technology evolves faster than language. And so originally, the idea of tapping a phone line meant that you went down to the local telephone exchange and you spliced a line. You know, there's copper wires everywhere. And you went in and you got a court order. You know, the judge said you can listen into the phone line, and you little stuck your wires into the switchboard and you listened in or made a tape of whatever it was that was being discussed. And so and this is important because now you're getting a lot of these denials about we never tapped the phone lines. It was never the case. And this Binney guy is directly contradicting it, because he's saying, listen, you got to understand how this works. We collect in these data centers, right? Like, for example, there's one in Bluffdale, Utah that they built. They can collect 10 years of phone calls, of emails, of text messages from around the world. Think about that. Is that bigger than your hard drive? Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, that's an enormous sum of information. And so what happens is before you had to use a court order to collect the information. You had to get a court order to tap into a phone line. But now, really, what you do is you collect the information up front I mean, these are surveillance. This is surveillance that's being conducted in a far wider scale because they have the capacity to do it. You'd run out of cops, right, to send an FBI agent and who knows who else to send them to every exchange and splice into phone lines. And so in response to this, the technology is involved. And it's no longer just that. There are interceptions. Okay, that's the new word. So apparently Trump tweeted it all wrong because the news media is slapping him six ways to Sunday, accusing him of just having this whole thing totally wrong. And that's what Benny's disputing. He says this is 100% possible. And there are other people emerging that are kind of confirming this, but they're explaining maybe some of the nuances of language as it relates to this. And one of the people that was on Fox and Friends today, I think it was James Rosen. Now, James Rosen is he was the Fox News reporter who ended up, and I mentioned him yesterday on the program, but he was the guy who was doing some heavy reporting on Benghazi. And they were not quite pleased with what he was producing. And so what happened was suddenly he found himself the target of an FBI investigation. But this is really important because now you have a journalist, and that doesn't really matter, right? Journalists, they may believe they've got special protections, but they don't. But he's a U.S. citizen in the United States. So what do you have to do there? Well, the way Obama makes it sound, right, when he's talking about this, and we'll get into it in a little bit here, is you have to get a warrant. There's procedures, there's protocols. But what happened, and here I'm going to play a clip of what he's saying on Fox and Friends. I want you to listen to this because he's explaining what happened to him, how he got designated as a target, and then what that functionally meant for him and his privacy.
I have to clarify that I was not wiretapped. My parents were not wiretapped, which is where you place a listening device on someone's telephone line and you listen to their conversations. What happened to me was that the Attorney General, Eric Holder, under Barack Obama as president, secretly designated me a criminal co-conspirator and a flight risk, and thereby had a federal judge give the government permission to rifle through all my Gmails. They could read the emails and then also to get all the phone records associated with about 20 phones that I used at that time in my reporting. All of those phone lines were 202 or 703, which are the area codes associated with Washington and the Pentagon, Northern Virginia area. One of those 20 phone lines was 718, and that referred to my parents' house on Staten Island at that time.
So there he's explaining it, right? So again, everybody in the, you know, there's been some talk about Rosen being one of the targets of the Obama administration. And you get all the Obama sycophants who are roundly criticizing it and saying, no, it's not true. And he's clarifying it. Now, in my book, well, listen, I mean, the government declares, if they're starting to look through and look at all your phone records and all your phone calls, and presumably that might even include your text messages on cell phones, and they're reading all of your email. I mean, last I checked, Podesta and Hillary Clinton were pretty pissed when WikiLeaks read their emails. And it's an interesting thing. So that's, I mean, it's funny how technology is involved. I think we still call it wiretapping. It's what we call it. We use these words because it's how our language has been used for so long. But now there's so many, the technology has evolved. By the way, what do you call somebody listening in through your TV? What's that? I don't know. There's not a specialized word for it, but the CIA calls it Weeping Angel. Remember, I told you about that yesterday, too. And some interesting developments on that there. So we'll get to that a little bit later as well. Now, here is Rosen actually then, right after he kind of explains that and decides, you know, kind of explains what's going on. They ask him the $1 million question because there's two sides to the argument. You're hearing two things, right? You're hearing from leftists and anti-Trumpers and Obama acolytes. They're all saying, "Ah, Trump, beneath the dignity of the office of president, tweeting these unsubstantiated, ridiculous assertions." And then on the other side, you have people saying, "Well, you know, it's possible." It's possible he's right. You know, maybe he didn't use the right words, or he didn't call it exactly the right thing. But it's 100% that it's possible. And people who are highly credible, for example, Benny. Now here is what Rosen says when he's asked about it. And he's one of the people that's commenting on it, and comes, I think, from a place of credibility, because was originally a member of he was somebody that was targeted by the Obama administration and had his communications intercepted. So here's what he says.
Does your own experience lead you to believe that something like this is possible? There's some dismissing it offhand, saying it would never happen. Is your experience that, in light of how you've seen the federal government work and the way people in power can use it, that it's possible that something like President Trump is alleging could have happened?
It's entirely plausible. This is the nature of the age in which we live, the age of Eric Snowden.
Yeah, and then he goes on and explains kind of, you know, how it's a loss of innocence, right? I mean, I still, and this is an interesting thing, because I still remember in law school when I was taking constitutional law, and it would have been like 2011, 2012, and I'm in my law school, and at that point, news had not yet broken of what Snowden did. And I remember Hugh Hewitt, my law professor at Chapman University, told us, you know, they're probably listening to any phone call that is going between the U.S. and a foreign country. But they just cannot listen to anything that's going on inside of our country without a warrant. And that is within months. I remember this. I was sitting in class. Within months, the Snowden story broke, and everything that Hugh had said just went out the window. And this is what people have got to understand, is this is possible. And Benny, yesterday I played to the New York Times profile they did on him when Benny was critical of Bush and Cheney. He was the top critic of Bush and Cheney. Came out, he quit his 32-year career, went on the record to decry the abuse of power under the Bush administration to use his code to spy on Americans. Now, he wanted to use the word tap. I guess, you know, I got to be more specific. But it's in general, to spy on Americans. And Benny was lauded. He was feted. He was he was God's greatest gift to the establishment, to the left wing, and to the media. And I will, right now, the New York Times and CNN and MSNBC, you would think that Benny had died. I mean, he's gone. He's been erased. The selective use of people, of information, of facts is nothing short of astounding. Now, another development in all of this, another development that's very important is that even though they haven't parsed through all 8,700 documents that have been released, The discussion already is, okay, so what? What does this mean? And it's interesting to me because James Comey went on the record today. In case you missed this, the Politico did a piece on this, Rich Lowry. I went and attended a talk that Comey gave somewhere in Massachusetts at Boston College, a conference on cybersecurity. Timely. I bet he was wanting to bail on that, by the way. It's not the right time to give this talk. But in this thing, he said, look, this is the director of the FBI. He says, all of us have a reasonable expectation of privacy in our homes, in our cars, and in our devices. But it also means, with good reason, in court, government through law enforcement can invade our private spaces. Now, we know this isn't true necessarily, because there's these FISA warrants and there's this collection of information that happens even without a warrant through domestic spying. So it's not necessarily true that every warrant comes from a court of law, as we would expect. But then he says there is no such thing as absolute privacy in America. And that, I think, is something that we have to think about. And that's right now the so what. You know, it's the conversation in all of this thing. We get lost in the politics of it. Because when it was Bush, the left cried that it was bad. When it was Bush victimizing people, if you will, it was bad. When Obama did it, it was crickets. And to me, as a civil libertarian, this is appalling. It should frighten you no matter if you're left, right, brown, white, whatever you are, man or woman. Even on International Women's Day, privacy is important. And it's a hallmark of our Western civilization. So, we'll continue our conversation here in a bit. And I also want to tell you what Obama's firing back. And as per usual, there's some nuance to it. And I want to deconstruct it a little bit for you here in a minute. Back right after this. Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
News. Talk. Evolve. Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
Sam Rzhovsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And just to give you one another little example here of how words matter in this in these conversations about spying. The Electronic Frontier Foundation, a great defender of people's rights, kind of a libertarian organization that supports various online liberties, we'll call them privacy rights. They did an article on this. The government's word games when talking about NSA domestic spying. And in this one case, Jewel versus the NSA, the case isn't important, but here's just a little snippet of what they wrote. The government, right, when pressed on, are you spying on Americans? Now, to you and me, that's a plain and simple question, right? So here is how they answer it. Now, pay close attention. Plaintiffs, this is the government's response in writing. Plaintiffs' allegation, right, the people that are bringing the case are the plaintiffs, allegation that the NSA has indiscriminately collected the content of millions of communications sent or received by people inside the United States after 9/11 under the TSP is false. Now, you see, they added that little under the TSP. Because what could happen is they could be collecting it under a different program. And look at how many programs they have. Just wait till we get through these 8,700 pages that WikiLeaks has. Just call them. Look, one program gets smoked out, you know, and found out. And all of a sudden, a bunch of plaintiffs come out and say, hey, are you spying on me under Program X? They're like, oh, what, Program X? No, we're doing it under Program Y. These people are shifty as the day is long. And you're listening, and this is it. The poor suckers out there that are consuming media from these mindless dolts over at CNN and elsewhere who are so obsessed with tearing Trump down. Look, this is bigger than Trump and bigger than Obama. It's going to come down to our fundamental expectations of privacy, as I was saying earlier here at the end of last segment. And I'm telling you, I'll tell you this domestic surveillance. You know how they've been very clever in redefining intercept, right? And kind of getting around our Fourth Amendment privilege to have be free from unreasonable search and seizure of our homes and our papers and our things. They get around it by saying, well, you know, when the computer, right, as if it's some mindless, you know, thing, right? The computer records your conversation, you know, you and your wife, you know, talking, private conversation, yelling at each other, right? When that happens, and it goes to the hard drive over in Bluffdale, Utah. Think about this. And it's, by the way, it's transcribed, too. It's reduced into writing, right, automatically, right? The voice recognition and stuff like that. So they transcribe it. Until someone listens to it, until it goes into an ear canal by some human, it's not an intercept, according to the government. This has to be challenged. Like, in my opinion, I'm just looking at this constitutionally. And as a lawyer, I can tell you that, okay, fine, it's not going into an ear canal. But you know what my argument is? Is it's going into something that is a lot smarter than a single ear canal. It's going into a supercomputer that was designed by, for example, by this Binny guy and others like him. These eggheads, genius types. And this computer can take every conversation you've ever had with anybody over the phone, take all that information, and pull out of it different words, different factors, different combinations of information that can tell that computer more about you than any FBI agent sitting there on the phone listening in. And it can involve issues related to, you know, smoking pot, you know, evading cops for traffic tickets, IRS issues. I mean, a host of other kinds of nothing to do with terrorism. And people are getting prosecuted for this, by the way. It's a huge issue. All right. I want to get to what Obama is saying. He's firing back at Trump, and I'm loving it. All right. John Wolfe. Don't worry. I could never forget. Up next, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
All right, Sam Rzhovsky here, Sam Nation Talk Radio 790 KABC. And finally, after some silence, Obama, according to the Wall Street Journal, is super pissed at Trump over his wiretapping accusations. Now, my default approach to any news story is to immediately question it. So I look at these sources here because I always want to reconcile what's being said publicly versus what is being said privately by off the record sources. And I will tell you, there are two types of off the record sources. Yeah, this correct. It's authorized and not authorized. Let me give you an example. Let's say I want to leak something out that helps me. Okay, I'm gonna send it out. What I will do is tell somebody, hey, you know, go and talk to that reporter over there. Make it sound like you're getting the dish, but really it's something that I want to get out. And for example, here, the story says multiple sources confirm that Barack Obama is furious, okay, about Donald Trump. And it says that that actually he's upset. He's livid over the accusations. But he's not worried that Obama's really Joe Cool about the whole thing because he knows he hasn't done anything wrong. I smell some stink. So I'm reading this and I'm thinking, you know, I got to go back to the public statement, which is what Kevin Lewis said the other day. A cardinal rule of the Obama administration was that no White House official ever interfered with any independent investigation led by the department. Does this sound like that thing I read earlier? The denial by the NSA? There's too many words in this. Somebody said, hey, did you do it? Just say no. It sounds like Bill Clinton saying, well, it depends what the definition of is. As part of that practice, neither President Obama, this back to Kevin Lewis, as part of that practice, neither President Obama nor any White House official ever ordered surveillance on any U.S. citizen. Any suggestion otherwise is simply false. Okay, listen, Kevin. Liar, liar, pants on fire. If the FISA court technically orders the surveillance. Like, this is every article right now talks about this. The FISA court orders the surveillance. And by the way, President Obama nor any White House official, does that include the Attorney General? Because you could say that he's not at the White House, he's at the DOJ. You know what this did you hear about this lawyer? I don't want to shift. Now I'm thinking about Sweet James, who's our long-suffering sponsor here of this great program. There's a lawyer in Miami, not Sweet James, who's arguing in court, and literally as he's talking to the jury, by the way, defending his client in an arson case, as he's talking to the jury, his pants catch on fire. This should have happened to Kevin Lewis here talking for Obama. I mean, it turns out it was an e-cig. You know, it had a faulty charge, and it started smoking in his pocket. He had to run out of the courtroom with a little smoke trail blazing behind him. And then he has to, I don't know what he does. He has to get the e-cig out and get rid of it and put some water on his pants, and then comes back to court, and all he has is a singed pocket. Now, two things. One, when you hire a lawyer, try to hire one that doesn't spontaneously catch in flames when he's talking to a jury. So I know James very well. I know he doesn't smoke any e-cigs. So I think you guys are really safe with that. Plus, he's not a liar. In fact, he's a very truthful, straight-up guy. And that's why he's respected, not just by his clients, but by his opponents. And when he says something, when he comes and argues for you, he means it. He's the guy to hire. And, you know, you guys know the number, right? 800-881-2021 for Sweet James. And then he's got a website, too. Attorney James Bergner. Well, it's sweetjames.com. That's where you reach him. All right. We'll be back after this. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
KABC.
It's the economy, stupid. You remember that line? Probably the moment where Bill Clinton was able to really regain momentum of his nascent campaign against incumbent President George Herbert Walker Bush, wherein in a debate, you remember this, right? He says, it's the economy, stupid. It's just the job. And by the way, I went straight to the source here. I'm looking at the ADP. And by the way, they're the big payroll company, probably one of the biggest in the U.S. I use them at the firm. Very good. But basically, it's no surveying or anything. They're just a payroll company. They keep track of how many jobs were added. It's no funny math to it. And 298,000 jobs increased in February, which is more than what they expected. The expectation was somewhere just shy of 200. Now, I am enjoying tremendously the gymnastics. NBC did one where they spent the whole day showing how every one of the large contributors. We added some jobs, by the way, at the firm, but I don't think it really factored in very heavily in this number. But they did go and they said, well, the Exxon over here with their 34,000 jobs and that company over there with their 50, these are people that committed to this back in October when Trump was not president. Okay. All right. So let me tell you how these jobs things work. People commit to jobs. I will give you a little sneak behind the, it doesn't matter. I've got 73 employees, something like that. Okay, you can say you're going to commit to a new project. I don't care if you've got 73 employees or 73,000 employees. You say you commit to new employees. You say you commit to a new project. You don't pull the trigger on it in February if you don't feel good about it in February. If the economic indicators are poor. It is an absolutely common practice in companies, large, small, and middle-sized, for smart people smarter than me, to make projections, but your projections are only worth what the realities are on the ground, economy-wise, when it comes time to make the hire. So this is typical BS, nonsense, talking heads on TV who have no freaking clue how the real world works. blabbering on about, well, this is just Obama's numbers. This is just Obama's. This has nothing to do with Trump. And I'm listening to it. I'm going, look, there's no way a company like ExxonMobil would add a whole bunch of jobs if they felt that the economy was going into the crapper. I don't care what they committed to in October. Just nonsense. It's a rich fantasy world. And many people, many of your friends, right, that you talk to, you go to work with, you have to listen to, and they just might just follow these people right into the rabbit hole. And the reality is there just aren't very many. You might go on, you know, on CNBC or you might go on to Fox Business and you're going to listen to some people who have some real world experience. But that's one thing that happens in media. You know, people in the business world very rarely end up going on into radio or TV and become commentators. And I think that's one thing that, you know, that sets me apart. I mean, I live in both worlds. During the day, I make business decisions and I talk to people and I hire and I fire. And I deal with anything from the most mundane and stupid HR matter to big issues of planning and adjusting course. And, you know, really more business guy than lawyer, honestly, in my capacity and what I do at the firm. And that's why when I look at these news stories, you got to understand, I'm taking my experience and I'm looking at it through my glasses, my beautiful round tortoise-shelled glasses. Yeah, so that's, if you didn't know that, you know, check out the website, which samnation.com, if you haven't been in a while, you can see some photos of me. Yeah, it's true, as my wife would say, I have a face for radio. Anyway, so there it is. By the way, I'll take this quick opportunity to remind you that we have some really fun stuff on our Instagram. You know, we occasionally will take the promos that we make and we'll put them on the @SamNation Instagram. And we make great videos about it. There's one from earlier this week that was just spectacular. So follow us on Instagram, okay? There's great stuff on there. Twitter, of course, @SamNation. As well, and the website. You got to go to the website and get the podcast if you miss anything in the show. All right, back right after this. About talking about Ferraris. Yeah, Ferraris. Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
All right, Sam Rojofsky here. We're back, and remember this Project Weeping Angel where the CIA has a department called the Embedded Devices Branch, and this is the group that has figured out how to hack your Samsung TV. They have a fake off mode. Well, so this is so funny because it is somewhat unrelated, non-CIA story. A couple weeks ago, the Daily Mail revealed that there's a lawsuit brewing down in Miami, in Florida. I've got it here in my stack of stuff. It's fascinating. It's a whistleblower lawsuit. Ah, sound familiar? It's like almost like the NSA thing, almost like the CIA thing. Only this whistleblower, it all has to do with Ferraris. And I think this is fascinating, right? Because you got this. The idea is that this guy, he's a salesman. He's worked at the Ferrari sales this Ferrari dealership in Miami for a long time, and he gets canned. And he files a retaliation lawsuit, and in it he alleges that Ferrari has a feature by which they can remotely turn back the car's odometer in a used car that has a lot of miles on it, for example. They can turn it back to zero. Now, of course, this is a great feature. You have an old car? You have a car that you want to sell, maybe? Where there's this really rich guy that came in, he had a lost Ferrari, and that's a $3 million Ferrari. But it had a ton of miles on it. And so apparently this guy went into the dealership, and this is how the salesman who filed the lawsuit figured it out, because the guy went in and turned the odometer on his car that everybody knew. Right? He'd driven this car, had brought it in the dealership for service, so they had records to prove that it had had however many miles on it. And all of a sudden the car gets brought back in, and comes and leaves the dealership with 0.00 on the odometer. Shady. Now, the article says it's a crime in Florida. It's a felony for a dealership to do that. It's actually federal law. We looked it up here, and it's federal law. It's a crime, a felony to tamper with these odometers and to use that information to generate a false title, which is what you do. Apparently, can you believe this? Do you know how much money he made? And the guy that did this, interesting guy, he's the a CEO of Sara Lee Foods, Steve McMillan. And the allegation is that by rolling the odometer back so dramatically, he made $1 million on the added $1 million, I should say, to the resale value of his car. It's pretty unbelievable, right? Now, I don't know. I can't tell you if Ferrari can turn your TV on and off. You know, but this is what technology can do. A lot of our assumptions for the security and sanctity of information, of our privacy, tech kind of turns it all upside down. So it's, you know, it is an interesting conversation to have, and we will continue to get into it here on the program. Now, we are off tomorrow night. Kings are playing, and we will be back here Friday evening and have more fun. Round out the end of the week in style, as we usually do. All right, we got John Wolf up with the news next, and it was a pleasure to be here with you. See you Friday night. Sam Berjofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Talk Radio 790 KABC.